no other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know. No other name,
no other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know.
Praise God. No other name. No other name. No other name. There's therefore now no other name given among men under heaven. No other name. No other name. No other name. I know. You can't call on Buddha. No other name. No other name. Muhammad's not going to help you. No other name. I know my God. Let's start loving the name. I love your name. I love your name. I love your name. Sweetest name I know. No other name. No other name. No other name. I know. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just press into that. Just love him for the power of his name, for the revelation of it. If you know that the name of Jesus is the name of the mighty God, give him praise for that right now. If when you whisper his name, he comes down to see about you, give him praise right now. Hallelujah. His name is Yeshua. It means God has become our salvation. Yeah, oh, mighty God, hallelujah, precious name, wonderful name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth. Peter just told the Sanhedrin, he said, we can only testify to those things that we've seen and heard. But there is therefore now no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Praise God. We hide in the name of Jesus. The power of God is released in the name of Jesus. Praise God. This morning, we invoke the name of Jesus over 10 brand new lives. And when we did that, the word of God was fulfilled. And he washed away their sin. When Ananias was witnessing to Paul, Paul had been knocked flat of his back and had lost his eyesight. And God told him, he said, Lord, who are you? And Paul was a one God Jew, monotheistic Jew. And when he said, Lord, he was talking to the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. Make no mistake about it. He said, who are you? And he said, the Lord, the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And Paul said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to go down into the city to a street called Straight. And there's a man there by the name of Ananias, and he's going to tell you what to do. Ananias prayed for him. He received his sight. Prayed for him. He received the Holy Ghost. And he said, according to Paul's testimony in Acts 22 and 16, he said, Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away thy sin. He actually said, washing away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. If you would research that passage of scripture, you'll find that the verb there, calling, is not an active verb, it's a passive verb. It doesn't mean that Paul's going to call on the name of the Lord. It literally means having the name of the Lord called over you. He said, that'll wash your sins away, Paul. Well, praise God. Anybody here glad you went down in the water in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. No other name. No other name. Hallelujah. They don't so much anymore, but they used to call us Jesus only. It's worse than that. It's Jesus everything. It's Jesus in the morning and Jesus at noontime and Jesus. Listen to me. You can go to bed at night and nestle up and hug up to a three God committee if you want to, but you got to know you're hugging up to the Roman Catholic Church that invented that 300 years after Jesus. Do that if you want to, but I'm telling you, there's no other name than the name of Jesus. There's no other saving name. There's no other healing name. The power is in the name of Jesus. My God, he said, in my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll speak in new tongues. He said, in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. Let's give him a hand praise of worship. Magnify his name. Glory, glory, glory to God. Don't you love the presence of God? Let's give him a little high praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, it is so absolutely wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it is a good thing for God to lead us and direct us by his Spirit. We've been working our way through the book of Isaiah. And in this 61st chapter concerning the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he goes through that. That's Isaiah prophesying, but when Jesus opened up his ministry in Nazareth in the 4th chapter of Luke, he opened the scroll of Isaiah, and that's what he read. He read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And we've been talking about that in terms of the anointing of God and the transfer of the anointing. And I've got several things I wanted to cover in regard to that. And I was fully prepared to pursue that this morning. But yesterday, while I was considering this service today, the Lord said, there'll be people in the service tomorrow morning that need to understand. They don't even understand what the Holy Ghost is. You need to go through it step by step and explain to them what the Spirit of God is and how you receive the Spirit of God. And in doing so, we're going to talk about the baptism. I'll just tell you, this morning the house was covered up with people that needed to know, and they just started coming. They started, Brother Cliff had one in the water before we were ever even halfway through with the service this morning, going down in the water in Jesus' name. And then when they started coming to the altar, they just never stopped. What was that all about? God saw them before they ever went to bed last night. He knew they would be here in the service this morning. He knew their needs, and he knew what he wanted to do in their lives. And I'm so glad that God directs our path and orders our steps. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. I want to be a part of a fluid, vibrant, spirit-filled move of God where God can just by his Spirit move on us, and we're ready to pray and we're ready to worship. And we're ready to witness, and we're ready to tell about this great story, this greatest story that was ever told. Praise God. Are you excited to be a part of that? Praise God. Now, Elena called me after service this morning. She checked the records back to like 2006, and she said, you know, we've never had 10 people, that many people get baptized in one service since 2006. We may not have ever had 10 get baptized in any one service up to now. I'm not sure, Brother Cliff. That might have been a record-setting morning this morning. I'm just telling you, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Oh, hallelujah. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's our job. We just lift him up. I know he was talking specifically about Calvary, but it's always bigger than the initial instance. If we lift him up, he'll draw people to it. If we start a fire, people will come to just to watch it and see what's happening in the house. Our world is lost, and people are hungry. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we want to touch on a couple of further points this evening, and then we're going to go probably pretty early tonight. Looks like we're on a record-setting trend here tonight, too. So you may get out of here before it's dark. You'll beat everybody to Burger Doodle tonight. Praise God. Praise God. It just feels really sweet in the house tonight, like we're just going to come together and go, isn't it good to live for God? Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, don't you love the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Brother Mike told me this morning that his neighbor just came up to him and said, where do y'all go to church? We want to go there. He said he invited himself. Praise God. Praise God. Isaiah 61 and beginning in verse 1. Everyone say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has sent me to proclaim the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We're paraphrasing this, but you can personalize this because you are the extension of the incarnation. You are the body of Christ. And it's his intent that his body fill the earth with his glory. Verse 3, he said, here's the plan. I want to give to those that are mourning in Zion beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want them to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Let's magnify him in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here believe that this is the best thing that ever happened to you and you? Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I ain't turning around. Praise God. I'm not going to give place to the devil. If he's looking for a place, he's going to have to go somewhere else. Not going to roost on me. I'm going to be a shouter. I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to be a praiser. I'm going to be a tongue talker. I'm going to be the vessel of God in the last day. Anybody here believe God? Do you believe God can shake a city? Do you believe God can pour out a revival like they've never had here before? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. What do you think the will of God is? Think the will of God is more of the same old, cold, dead, dull, and dry? Or do you think God died for a church yet unborn and he wants to see them come forth? I believe it. Praise God. Now, we've been talking about the fact that the Spirit of God was upon the Christ, but it's also upon the church. Can't go back and recreate all that. But everybody that has the Holy Ghost in your life, say amen. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that moved upon the waters on the day of creation, the same Spirit that moved on the prophets, the same Spirit that moved on the judges like Samson, the same Spirit, God's Spirit, is the same Spirit that moved on the kings. When David became a giant killer, it was because the old man Samuel had poured the oil on his head, but it wasn't just oil that came on him. It was the anointing of the Spirit of the living God. God is a Spirit, John 4:24. Everybody say, God is a spirit. Praise God. And there's only one spirit, Ephesians 4. There's only one spirit, and God is that spirit. He is the creator. He's the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of Moses. He's the God that led them by the cloud in the wilderness. He's the God that filled the tabernacle with the Shekinah power of God. He's the God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush by spirit. He's the God that when Moses' spirit came on the 70, God said, Moses, come here, gather the 70. I want to take your spirit and put it on them. It was the spirit of Moses, but the Bible in that same passage said it was the spirit of God. It was the spirit of God in Moses. And as Brother Wilson likes to say, the medium affects the message. So it ran through Moses, so they not only got the spirit of God on them, but they also got a little Moses on them. That's a caution to anybody that's in leadership or you've got a ministry to a family. If you're a dad in a household or if you're an elder in a certain ministry, you need to understand that your spirit gets on people. You better keep your spirit right. You better keep your spirit right because it'll get on your kids and it'll get on those that you're trying to minister to. And I know you want them to succeed and be blessed and do well. And so the Spirit of God came on the 70, and they all began to prophesy. And Eldad and Medad ran into the camp, and the other 68 stayed with Moses back at the tabernacle. But Eldad and Medad just, it got on them, and they just started running. And Joshua said, can they do that? Moses, make them stop. And Moses said, I would that all God's people were prophets. And he prophesied, because there's going to come a day at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that Peter is going to respond to the crowd in the street of Jerusalem. They're hearing this group of 120 Galileans speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2. And they say, what does this mean? How are these Galileans all speaking in tongues? How are they speaking in these foreign languages? Because we know those Galileans are not educated. And Peter said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. These are not drunk like you're thinking they're drunk. He didn't deny they were drunk. He just said they're not drunk with wine like you think. But he said, this is what Joel was talking about. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise God. And so the Holy Ghost on you is not a third person in a community of gods. The Holy Ghost on you is not the third person in a Trinity. You do what you want, say what you want, but you can't rewrite history. That was invented in Rome by the Roman Catholic Church, and it divides God, and it confuses people, and it's affront to the Scripture. But God is one, and God is a spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you've received God down on the inside. Well, praise God. And you are a child of God with the Spirit of God on the inside. Jesus was all of God on the earth. John, give me Colossians 2, 8. We're going to do 8, 9, and 10. Everybody said, beware, lest any man spoil you through vain deceit. And after the tradition of men, after Catholicism or Protestantism or any other ism, okay? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. If anybody's leading you anywhere but not after Christ, you beware, you watch, because they're going to try to lead you off into something that's not Christ. The power is in Christ. The glory is in Christ. The hope is in Christ. The promise is in Christ. They're going to try to lead you somewhere else. But I want to know what Jesus has to say. I want to know what Jesus is doing. Praise God. Verse 9. Everybody say, for in him, Christ. The him here is a pronoun that refers back to Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth most of the fullness of the Godhead. Dwelleth half the fullness of the... Dwelleth two-thirds of the... Dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. So what place do you think Jesus plays in the Godhead? What role do you think Jesus has in the Godhead? We don't believe Jesus is in the Godhead. That whole mess of a conversation starts with the Roman Catholic Church and the philosophy of the Romans, and who were trying to make one God into three, and they were merging Judaism and Christianity and Romanism. But the Bible says that the Godhead is in Jesus. All of the Godhead is in Jesus. Jesus is God on the earth in the flesh. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, he was all of God bodily. And that's why in John chapter 2, Jesus said, tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And they said, you're an idiot, because it took 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. And John says, parenthetically, they knew not that he spoke of the temple of his body. His body was a temple. Everybody say, his body was a temple. And tell your neighbor who lived in the temple. No, that I didn't say ask him a question. I said, tell him who lived in the temple. God lived in the temple. If his body was the temple, then God had come down. God came down in a body. God came down in flesh. Great, without controversy. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Not a part of God, not a piece of God, but all of God. Now, what he's done in the church, the language of the epistles, is that the body of Christ now is the temple. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the last two verses, says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price." He said, you need to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Turn to your neighbor if you have the Holy Ghost and tell him, "I am the temple of the Most High God." And then link arms with them and tell them, collectively, we are the temple of the Most High God. You understand that? You've got that. And the same ministry that Jesus had, you have. God had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, to tell them about the coming of the Lord, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for heaviness, to open up the prison houses and let the captives go free. That's the job and the calling of the church tonight. I'm so glad that you couldn't hear it, but in the spirit, while they were coming up out of the water today, chains were falling off their life. Demons were screaming and running for cover, and sins were being washed away. Praise God. That's the function and the purpose of the church. Now, as we deal with this, we understand that God gave his spirit to the 120, and then the Holy Ghost spreads across Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We are 2,000 years after the fact. The Holy Ghost is still falling. There are more people on the earth right now with the Holy Ghost than at any other time in all of the history of man. And it's going to get worse. By the coming of the Lord, there may well be a billion people on the face of the earth talking in tongues, filled up with the Spirit of God. Get ready. There's about to be a massive outpouring of the revelation of the knowledge of the name of Jesus, because the Spirit of God leads you into all truth. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we've talked about different modes then of spiritual transfer. We've talked about how you can create an atmosphere where demons can't stay there. And when a person, even like Saul or his messengers, come into that atmosphere, they can be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. You can have people in here without any intention of coming in and living for God, but they can get in a service like this and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we create the right kind of atmosphere. And there's a law there, a law of atmospheric transfer. And then inadvertent contact, like when they threw the dead guy on Elisha's bones, and the dead guy, when he hit those bones, he stood up on his feet, and he was made alive again. And you can touch somebody on the job or at work or at school or in your neighborhood, shake their hand. And if you're prayed up and filled up with the Holy Ghost, when you touch them, there's something that transfers from person to person. That man was dead. He didn't know what he was about to get, but Elisha had so much anointing, it was down in his bones. And I don't believe you're any different. James says you're just like those Old Testament prophets. He says you're just like them. Praise God. So you got this, Dustin, you got the same anointing in you that Elisha had in him. And if he can touch a dead man with just his bones and make him get up out of the grave, my God, what can you do? You're not dead. You're alive. You've got intent and purpose. Well, praise God. It's going to be a day of miracles. It's going to be a day of miracles. I'm telling you, they went everywhere. He gave them the mandate in Mark chapter 16. And then it says, they went everywhere preaching the word, and God confirmed the word with signs following. What's your job? Preach. Somebody say, preach the word. Tell your neighbor, my job's to preach the word. And tell them God's going to confirm the word with signs following. Don't go looking for the miracle, preach the word. Don't go looking for the miracle, preach the word. Don't go seeking after the gifts, preach the word. The gifts come along with the word. You have revival and it'll start breaking out all over this house. You have a shaking of the spirit, it'll start moving all over this house. God will lead you to them and God will raise them up. Praise God. We already have a pretty good move of God, but this thing's going to get scary. Is that clock right? It is so early. We'll beat everybody to McDonald's tonight. Are you okay? Okay. We talked about pursuit of faith. Like the little woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd. And as the Church of the Living God, we press through the daily pressures and the troubles and the things that would resist our coming into contact with the anointing of God. We press through in worship and we press through in prayer. And it's work when you do this thing right. But when you get through all of that pressure and you make contact with God, I'm telling you, a miracle is in that touch. And so in the pursuit of faith, then there is a moving of the Spirit of God and a transfer of the Spirit of God. Praise God. I want you to consider, if you would, Luke chapter 11. And this is a passage on prayer. And the first segment here, there are three segments. The first is the Lord's Prayer, which is a pattern or a template for prayer. Not a prayer to be memorized and recited. Because there's not much strength in just memorizing it and just by rote speaking it without even thinking. People do that before they play football games or basketball. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, will be done. Kill. That's not what he had in mind. Use it as a template. Start with worship, unity, our Father, which you can't escape the body. Our Father, not my Father, but our Father, which are in the heavens. You have to look up. You can't keep looking down at all the piddling things here and the trouble here and the minutia of life. You got to start looking up. Hallowed be thy name. You begin with praise and worship. So you ought to enter into your prayer with praise and begin to magnify God and thank God. Thank God for the cleansing of sin and thank God for the blessing of the Holy Ghost. And thank God for your husband and thank God for your wife and thank God for you. I'm telling you, that'll take care of a lot of the ills and the frictions in a household if you'll start praying for one another. Praise God. And so he teaches you about prayer there. And we're not going to run through that. I want to press on to the second installment in this teaching on prayer, starting with verse 5, chapter 11, verse 5, John. And and I don't know if you want to follow me with that or not, just kind of trip your way through as I go. But Jesus said there was a guy that had company at midnight. Now, who drops in at midnight? He dropped in at midnight. And the man in the house said, I don't have any bread. And so he said, you wait here. I'm going to go get some bread. I know somebody that has some. Now, tell your neighbor, this is a teaching on prayer. See, chapter 11 starts, and the disciples say, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. And so he's teaching on prayer, and he tells about a man that has company at midnight. He doesn't have any bread, so he's going to go get bread. So he has a need, and he's going where he can get the need filled. Guess what? The guy that's going and that's going to knock on the door is you. You're praying. And the one inside the house is God. And he's knocking on the door, and God says, go away. Don't you know what time it is? Now, this is Jesus telling the story, and he's God. It's his story, and this is God in the house. He says, go away. Everybody's asleep, and we're not getting up. Go away. But I need bread. I got company. We don't have bread. And he says, go away. I'm not going to feed you tonight. And so that's a type of prayer. But if you've got a burden, and if you know God, I know he's in there, and I know he's got bread, and I know he likes to bless people, and I know he's good, and I know he's going to do something good, I'm not going away. I said, go away. We're not getting up. Yes, you are. I read the book. I know you're going to do that. And finally, the Bible says the one inside, which is representative of God, comes out, gives him everything he needs, and he says he didn't do it because he was his friend. You can't go to God, Brother Kedrick, and say, God, you got to give me this bread because we're friends. I am a friend of God. But it says he didn't give it to him because he was his friend. He gave it to him because of importunity, which is just a $50 word that means he wouldn't go away. He said, I know he's in there, and I know his attitude about stuff, and I know that if I don't go away, he's going to like it, and he's going to give me everything I have need of. I'm telling you, there is a transfer of the Spirit and the power and the anointing of God when you will be persistent in prayer. God, here I am again. I'm asking for revival in Birmingham. I've been praying for it for 20 years. But you know what? I know you. I know you love revival. I know you died for them. And I know you want revival. Here I am. Give us revival, God. Go away. Give us revival, God. I'm not going to do it. Give us revival, God. Been praying God raise Jimmy Green out of that wheelchair for 20 years. God's a healer. God likes to do good stuff. But you know what? You can get to the place where you say, well, I reckon it's just the will of God for him to sit in that chair. Tell you what the will of God is. Oh, and by the way, God, how about Jimmy? How about Jimmy today? How about Jimmy today? The old time preacher said, it's a memorial prayer. He said, every day you're placing a rock. You're building a memorial in the floor around God's throne. And it's going to get so big that he's not going to be able to get up and get around up there without seeing your prayer. And finally, he's going to say, I got to do something about this. I've got to answer this prayer. Heal Jimmy, God. Heal Jimmy, God. Here I am again, God. Oh, and God, by the way, touch Jimmy Green. And oh, God, by the way, touch. You can forget to pray for him. You can get to thinking, well, that's just the way it's going to be. You can just get to thinking, well, I don't understand. God's obviously not going to do something for him. I read the book. The guy wouldn't go away. And God pulled the trigger on the miracle. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you will slip Brother Jimmy back into your daily prayer, in your prayer schedule? And oh, by the way, God, heal Brother Jimmy. And oh, by the way, God, I told Brother Jimmy, when God raises him up, we're going to put that wheelchair on a big pole out over the sign and put a little blue light on it. Jimmy was here. You say you don't believe that? I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can do anything. If you still believe it, keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Praise God. So there's a release of the anointing and there's a transfer of the power of God in the pursuit of faith. As you pursue faith and the word of God within the construct of what God has promised, then there is the potential for God to pour out an answer on that prayer. Now, while we're here, I want to explain something to you that you may or may not have heard or considered. In the last stanza there, verse 9, go to verse 9. John, verse 9 through verse 13. And he says, I say to you, ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. Verse 10, everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask, these are rhetorical questions, and what is the answer to each of them? No, 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 no. If a man that is a father has a son that asks for bread, he won't give him a stone. And he asks a fish, he won't give him a serpent. If he asks for an egg in verse 12, he won't give him a scorpion. So these are rhetorical questions. God said, you being evil in verse 13, know how to give good gifts to your children. Everyone say, how much more shall your heavenly Father give a fortune? Give a Cadillac. give anything you want just because you're asking. No, this last stanza is specifically about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's not about Cadillacs, Reverend Ike. It's not about name it and claim it and get anything you want. Just because you believe. Ask. This is the most bastardized passage of Scripture in the whole Bible. In free market America, this Scripture has been taken out of context and told to people that whatever you want, if you pray, God's going to give it. Let me tell you something. God is sovereign, and God will answer you either by saying yes, no, or wait. And God did not promise you a Cadillac, and he did not promise you a fortune, and it may be your destiny to be poor. Blessed are the poor. And I believe God blesses his people. Don't you get hung up in this garbage out there in the world of charismatica. Don't get caught up in that business. Name it and claim it, and you can have anything you can have. There are some things you can't have. There are some things you cannot have. And there's some things God will say no to because he's sovereign. That scripture only applies to the Holy Ghost. Now, with God, all things are possible. And with men, it's not so. And so we approach God about everything. But don't get your attitude in a crimp because God doesn't give you some natural thing. That you don't you dare let your devotion to God be based upon how God responds to your worldly appetites. Don't you profane your experience in God. Be raw and ready out on the edge of the Spirit. Whatever God wants for you, that's what you want. Isn't it right? Isn't it right? In the pursuit of faith, there is a release of the Spirit. And finally, I'm gonna wrap this up, and we'll go where we're going here. Maybe Wednesday night, work on it a little bit more. No, we won't, because we won't be here. But in the laying on of hands, there's a transfer of the Spirit and a transfer of the anointing. Abraham laid his hands on Isaac, and the Spirit of God and the promise came down upon Isaac. Isaac was blind and he was deceived by Jacob because the birthright and the blessing belonged to Esau. But who got the blessing? Jacob got it. Why? Because the old man they tricked him and he laid his hand, and it didn't matter that it was a trick. What mattered was that the old man laid his hand on that boy's head. And there was a transfer, and it couldn't be taken back. Praise God. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you that came to you by the laying on of hands. When we gather in here and we lay hands on one another and we pray for one another, this is not some kind of a holy roller par game. I'm not just trying to get you to connect on a human level. It's a nice thing to have contact with people. But I want you to understand, it's a powerful thing when you, as a Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-named child of God, you lay your hands on somebody and you begin to invoke the name of God and pray for them, something flows out of you. How many of you have ever felt it flowing out of your hand? And if you pray with your left hand, I'm right-handed. I pray generally with my right hand, but if I pray with my left hand, I feel it flow out of my left hand. What is that? It's the same thing when Jesus said, I felt virtue flow out of me. I don't understand it all together, but I do know that there's a transfer of the Spirit of God when you lay your hands on somebody. Mom and Dad, lay your hands on your babies. Mom and Dad, brothers, sisters, lay your hands on one another and pray for one another. When you're in this house of God, link up with somebody. Let the Spirit of God flow. And when you have a chance, when you're on the job or at school, reach over and touch somebody and begin to pray for them in the name of Jesus. Brother G.R., that's a tough thing in a bunch of old hard-headed guys at work, isn't it? But I've seen a whole crew of iron workers come in and receive the Holy Ghost. I've seen a whole crew of, I had one stand out in front of old Charlie's right here in Centerpoint about 6 years ago, and he's still living for God. And he said, I just wanted to say, I wanted to thank you for saving me. And I said, my God, Steve, I didn't save you. God saved you. But I knew what he meant. We were on the job together, and he was cursing and swearing and spitting and carrying on, and he'd sing these old filthy songs just to see how self-righteous I was. And I just let him go and let him go and let him go and kept living it in front of him. And then he came and started asking me about, what does the Bible say about this, or what does God think about that? And before it was over, Steve was in the altar filled up with the Holy Ghost. You need to draw close to people, and when you get a chance, my God, there's something in you. There's something God has given you, and you can touch somebody and it'll flow out of your vessel and on to another vessel. Let's do a little workshop here. Let's gather down in the altar tonight. I'm done. While you come and touch somebody and say, I've got healing in my hands. The Bible says so. Praise God. Yeah, it feels like fire. That'd be good. Yeah. Hey, now I'll tell you what I really am interested in. So, Sarah, the last bullet point on my outline says the law of generational transfer. You know where Israel crashed and burned so often? They lived it for one generation, and they couldn't get over the hump, and they couldn't get Kayla to live for God. But that ain't happening around here. You hear me? Where's Jermaine? Jermaine, quote that scripture you quoted earlier. You were up in my notes.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger.
Yeah, ordained strength. Praise God. You know, when he quotes this, he's quoting from the Psalms. When Jesus quoted it, it comes out in the Greek a little bit different. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you perfected praise. In the Psalms, it says, ordained strength. Jesus said, you've perfected praise. It was on the day of the triumphant entry, and they were coming down into Jerusalem, and the Bible said those that came before and those that followed after praised and magnified God. And when they got down to the temple, the Bible said the little children were praising the Lord, and the blind and the deaf and the lame were being healed in the temple. Praise God. Do you have your children around you tonight? Kids, go find your mom and your daddy. If you don't have mom or dad or kids here, find somebody. Link up with them. Sister Rose, you got some grandbabies here. I believe in generational transfer. I believe the Holy Ghost can come from your experience and jump into these kids. Mom and dad, I don't know what they're going to do, but that little boy can wake up in the middle of the night and hear from God and begin to be drawn to the kingdom of God. I believe that. Well, praise God. Praise God. I believe your children and your children's children can live for God. I want you to lay your hands on somebody tonight. If you got your kids there, do that. But if you don't, just link up with somebody. And I want you to let the Holy Ghost flow out of one vessel and into another. Fire. Fire. Yeah. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Like fire, Holy Ghost fire. Yeah. Do it, Jesus. Let it flow, mighty God. Hey. Holy Ghost fire. Word of God fire. Yeah. Spoken tongues. Spoken tongues. Yeah. Lord, I want to be filled again. Baptized in Jesus. believe God can do it. This promise is unto you and to your children and to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. Mighty God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, there was a time when Granny and Jewel and Sister Shirley and these children were all in the house at the same time. And y'all had four generations in the house at one time. And when Dakota would come, they had five generations in the house at one time. For a while, this family had four generations in the house at one time. I'm just telling you, this promise is unto you and to your children and to their children and to their children. God, it's the will of God. It's the purpose of God for us to have this, for us to love it, and for us to pass it on to another generation. I want to know, how many of you are first generation? First generation in your family to live for God. I want you to come stand up on this platform. As you're passing through, touch somebody and say, I'm starting something. I'm starting something. I'm starting something. I'm going to start a generation. And the next generation's going to live it too. And the next generation's going to live it too. And the next generation's... Holy Ghost fire, Word of God fire. Praise God. Now, I want you to point at these and say, it's not going to stop with me. I'm going to see to it that there's a transfer of Holy Ghost from one generation to the next. The scripture that Jermaine quoted said, God has ordained strength in the mouth of babes and sucklings. Jesus said he's perfected praise. Praise is perfected when it comes down from mama to daughter to grandbaby, or father to son to grandson. And David said, it's the ordaining of strength. You know what's going to happen in new life? This is pretty good right now. But as it's breaking loose in the next generation, it's going to get scary. And as it starts turning loose in the third generation, it's going to get scary. God's going to pour out an anointing and a revival. My God, my God, my God. I want generation number one to shout. I want generation number two to shout. I want generation number three to shout. It feels like fire. Holy Ghost fire, Word of God fire. Yeah. Take somebody by the hand, just do a little generational dance with them. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let's clap our hands, lift up a voice of praise. God bless you. Love you. There's prayer here Monday night and Tuesday night. You guys praying Tuesday night? No service on Wednesday night. If you got Bible study, you need to check with Brother Cliff. We'll have church here Sunday. It's Father's Day only. A morning worship service. Now, if you're a camper or the parent of a camper, I need to meet with you in the prayer room real quick so I can get a head count so we can talk about transportation. God bless you.